Now, some facilities do have standing orders where the nurse can implement. A lot of times they do have to contact the physician to notify there's been a change, and this is what I've seen, and this is how the patient is presenting, and based on that, then order is given. So it could be either or.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nurse Scum Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today we are talking again about UTIs, but this time signs and symptoms of UTIs, time frames, and what we should be doing or what the nursing home should be doing within those time frames. So we don't have that conversation in a vacuum. We're not alone here. We have the fantastic Ethel Wills, who will be joining us here in a second to talk about UTIs in nursing homes. Now it's time for everybody's favorite, the nursing home regulation question of the week. And again, this is your opportunity to receive a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. It is the perfect item for which to consume your morning coffee. A beautiful mug. You want this mug? Very easy. It's easy and not easy. Okay. So first, there's a whole bunch of stuff you got to do, but trust me, no one is doing it. So if you do these steps, I guarantee you that you will get a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast coffee mug. Okay. So you're going to go to TikTok. You're going to at Justice for Residents. That's our TikTok handle, I guess, at Justice for Residents. You're going to find the question of the week video. So that's going to be the thumbnail that has the cast of Seinfeld. Look for the thumbnail that has the cast of Seinfeld on it. Once you find that, you're going to post your favorite 2000s sitcom in it. Your favorite 2000s sitcom, and then the answer to this week's question. See how hard that was? But look, if you do those things, you're going to get a mug, okay? So calm down. One lucky winner will be randomly chosen and announced Sunday on TikTok and at shinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. The prize will be shipped at the end of the month. Again, at Justice for Residents, find the cast of Seinfeld. Put your answer to the question of the week as well as your favorite 2000 sitcom. My favorite 2000 sitcom, to bring this all the way back to the confusing beginning, is Curb Your Enthusiasm. And so Larry David, who was the co-creator of Seinfeld, also created Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it's the greatest 2000s sitcom that there is. All right, folks, this week's difficulty level, I'm going to say, is medium hard. So if you get this right, and if you're driving, you can stop at the next fast food restaurant that you see and get a milkshake. Under 42 CFR 483.20I, the comprehensive resident assessment must be certified by A, a registered nurse, B, the attending physician, or C, the interdisciplinary team. And that answer is A. A registered nurse must certify the accuracy of the comprehensive assessment of that resident. All right, now it's time to get into the meat and the potatoes of the episode. As I mentioned, talking all about UTIs, but we're not doing that alone. We have the fantastic Ethel Wills with us today. Ethel Wills brings extensive experience in intensive care, burns and trauma, ambulatory care, home health, and long-term care. In 2015, she transitioned to legal nurse consulting, founding E. Wills Legal Nurse Consultants, LLC. She specializes in reviewing and analyzing rehabilitation and long-term care cases with expanded services in future care cost projection and life care planning, and we are so happy to have her with us today. Ethel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your opportunity.
So we've had a couple of episodes, and most recently we had an episode about catheter-associated UTIs, but I wanted to kind of back up a little bit and have you on to discuss essentially UTIs in general, but more specifically kind of how we would typically know in a nursing home setting when someone has a UTI, like what are we looking for? And so that's kind of what I wanted to start with is, in your experience, what are some of the more common signs and symptoms that an individual resident has a UTI?
Well, of course, in seniors, the symptoms are atypical. They may present as confusion, delirium, lethargy, and a certain change of behavior, whereas in a younger individual, they're quite different. And that's what's usually seen in seniors. And in nursing homes, your UTIs are more than one most common infections. So it's wise to take note of those changes in behavior.
And so changes in behavior, like what kind of changes in behavior? What are we looking at?
One thing that I have seen in my practice is the one that may have been calm and cooperative patient, a resident, may suddenly become aggressive, withdraw from care, refuse care, and become really, really confused. Those are things that are typical that I usually have seen.
So confusion, and in some instances being ornery. That's if it's not your baseline.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay, so that would you say that typically those are the things that present first? Is that kind of like those are the telltale signs, and then you would kind of dig deeper?
What's usually presented first may be something that's more subtle and what's seen commonly in urinary tract infections, which may be cloudy, foul-smelling urine, frequency, things of that nature. It's pretty common that we all are very familiar with. And that's what's usually seen first. And you may even have a fever and maybe some pain, some discomfort with urinating. And those are things we first see before you might see those other signs and symptoms I just mentioned.
Okay, so it's kind of like it could be potentially a mixed bag. You could have somebody have a change in behavior, but then maybe only a day later there might be a change in frequency or urgency or the color of the urine, or vice
Correct.
versa,
That's
or vice
true.
versa.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
Okay, so what then? So let's say that you have a resident that is now presenting to you with a change in of mental capacity from baseline, and maybe there are some of the other telltale signs, so foul smelling urine or cloudy urine. Like, what do you do then?
At that point, it's time to investigate further. Sometimes, if there's a delay, that's a misdiagnosis, thinking that the change in behavior is dementia or progressive dementia. But it's best then to start doing investigation. A urine culture, for instance, be one of the first things to do is to get a urine culture to see whether any bacterial growth in the urine. That'll be the next thing to do.
So typically, how like, and I know all cases are different, but like typically, how long are you waiting? Like, is it like, okay, is it after a shift? Is it after two or three shifts? Like, when does the alarm bell go off in terms of everything is lining up that these are symptoms of a UTI? Let's get the culture.
Well, timely diagnosis, as I said, if I didn't say it already, is key. It's best to be very timely to prevent any progression of that urinary tract infection. So it should be within that shift. Notifying the physician there's a change and go ahead and get that urine sample to see whether or not there's any bacterial growth. Any delays can cause a progression and further harm to the patient or to the resident. So that's not what we want. We want to treat it timely.
Is that typically something that's handled by the nurses, or typically does the nurse need to call the attending physician to get the order for the labs?
Now, some facilities do have standing orders where the nurse can implement orders based upon those standing orders, based upon the symptoms that they perceive. But a lot of times they do have to contact the physician to notify there's been a change, and this is what I've seen, and this is how the patient is presenting. And based on that, then order is given. So it could be either or.
Okay, so now you've had the resident present with the symptoms of UTI. You've either have the standing order and sent off for the labs, or you've called the attending physician and the attending physician allowed it. The results come back. Typically, what results will, for lack of a better word, result in there being any change or antibiotics being ordered, things like that? Like what is a what What is the lab result that you're looking for?
But with the urine culture, we're looking at a bacteria count, the white blood count, the red blood cell count, whether or not there are any bacterial growth. That's what you're looking for. And based upon the results of that culture, Sometimes they will go ahead and do a sensitivity to show what the bacteria is sensitive to, what antibiotic is sensitive to, and you notify the physician, tell them what you found, and of course, orders proceed to give antibiotics, whatever that's deemed appropriate for that particular bacterial growth.
And I get, because I guess in my experience, everybody has a certain amount of bacteria in them. It's just a matter of when, like, there's a line of becoming symptomatic for UTI. You know, it's I don't know how to put it, and that's why my last question was so convoluted. But anyway, so tell me, Ethel, what do you do then? Like, when would it be appropriate after you've already got the lab result, the physician orders the antibiotics, we've declared that this is a UTI. When is it, in your experience, appropriate to discharge that resident due to the infection?
If that infection, there are sometimes there are signs that the infection has progressed, travel up the urinary tract to the kidneys, and there may be signs of intense pain, nausea, vomiting, high fevers, respiratory rate, low blood pressure. Those are times that you need to escalate care. That means that facility cannot and do not have the resources to take care of that patient. And it also looks like a sepsis developing, and we don't want that. Sepsis can cause a further, unfortunately, it can cause death, and we're trying to prevent that. We're trying to escalate care and prevent any further dire consequences to the patient, to the resident.
So it's because I guess from what I hear you say is there would potentially be a time prior to unresponsiveness or unconsciousness that it would be appropriate to send the resident out to acute care, to a hospital, and that might be severe pain, increased respirations, that kind of thing. It's not just a matter of, well, we're going to just see how it goes. Unless the person is unconscious, right? Like if there is a continuum.
Yes, most definitely. There got to be a lot of times you two ask, you I always say UTIs, urinary tract infections, can be treated in the facility. But if the patient condition deteriorates with symptoms such as that, as what I just said, high fevers, chills, high respiration, low blood pressure, that can mean that they're deteriorating. There's sepsis, possibly sepsis developing. And that's when you want to escalate care and not try to treat it within the facility. IV fluids, antibiotics, further care, further advancement of care.
I understand that the elderly population as a whole is more susceptible to UTIs. I get that. Speak about even within that population, are there any subgroups that might be more likely to get UTIs?
Diabetics are one such group that can. Someone that's in nursing homes, unfortunately, they're not just one condition. Patients are there, a resident are there because of other conditions, other health conditions. They have diabetes, high blood pressure, heart conditions. And when they have these possible conditions, these are chronic conditions. And the urinary tract infections can cause a uncontrolled blood sugars and a further risk to the cardiovascular system. And those are subgroups that can be affected. And of course, anyone that's really severely ill with a terminal conditions, those are at risk. People that are malnourished, those at greater risk. People that are incontinent, are greater risk. Those are ones I can really think of that can be at a greater risk for urinary tract infections and can have some dire consequences as a result.
If you have a family sitting in front of you and they have a loved one in a nursing home that has some of those symptoms, maybe diabetes, chronic high blood pressure, perhaps incontinence, what are some of the things that you would tell them as a family that might reduce the likelihood that their loved one gets a UTI or, you know, heaven forbid, gets a sepsis or septic shock?
Well, now, that's the one thing that's very, very common intervention for to prevent urinary tract infections, and that's hydration, encouraging fluids. And for the family member, it might be offering and encouraging their family member to drink more fluids. And for a staff member, it might be having a pitcher of fresh water at the bedside and say, hey, every 2 hours, let's offer this person a drink of water. And the family can do the very same thing. If their family member is intact mentally, they can say, hey, Mrs., hey, Mom, every so often drink some water, drink some more water. Those are simple, that's a simple thing that can be done. And of course, if they're cognitively intact, encourage them to go to the bathroom frequently, not hold their urine. Urinate frequently. After each meal, try to use the bathroom. Proper hygiene, cleaning the proper way, wiping from front to back. That's for both staff as well as for the resident. Those are some simple things that can be done to prevent urinary tract infections that I can say that the family can be involved in as well.
Tell me about the way in which the nursing staff can reduce the likelihood of UTIs by experimenting is not the right word, but testing toileting programs. So in other words, like, would it have an effect on that resident if the nurses would say, okay, let's try cueing the resident to go to the bathroom if they're cognitively impaired, for example, or let's do rounding at this times and things like that, like testing out and revising the toileting program as appropriate. What effect does that have?
That'll be a tremendous effect on the likelihood of reducing urinary tract infections. Offering toileting, as I had mentioned earlier, offering toileting every 2 hours, offering toileting after having eaten and before eating, all those are called bladder training. Those are things that can be done to help to reduce the likelihood of urinary tract infections. Those are things that really, that is very, very key.
Typically, when would a nursing home start a toileting program? Is that something that's done at the at admission? Is it done when maybe the person might have UTIs?
It's done at admission. Usually, the process is to, I said the process. At admission, there are certain questions and assessments that are being asked. And if the patient's assessed to be incontinent, there's an effort to retrain. And typically, that's a 3-day training program that the staff try to implement to try to determine, first of all, whether or not there is incontinence and to try to establish the resident's pattern of urinating. During this 3-day period of bladder training, they're trying to assess and then they will implement a program based upon what they found during that 3-day period of assessment. That's what's typically done.
I feel like anecdotally, in my experience, that step is skipped. And if the resident comes in with adult briefs on, they stay in adult briefs for months, maybe even years. Like they don't even try. But again, that's not every nursing home, clearly. But in my experience,
Yes.
when I have bad UTI cases, that's a lot of times part of the reason why that occurred. So I hear you. Like that toileting program at admission. Very critical, at least in my experience. All right, Ethel, is there anything else that you want to impart to the audience today?
Yes, most definitely. Prevention is key. And as I said earlier, hydration is one of the simplest things we can do. Being proactive and with the resident is one of the key things that we can do. Being proactive and being aware of the possible signs and symptoms of a urinary tract infection. Being timely, ensuring there's no misdiagnosis. As I said, dementia can be the symptoms, signs, symptoms of urinary tract infection can mimic dementia. And we want to make sure that we're treating the correct thing, being timely and properly diagnosing and intervening appropriately. Those are key things that we should be doing to prevent escalating urinary infections.
Very well said. Ethel, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you again.
Well, folks, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I know that I sure did. If you have an idea for topics that you would like for me to discuss, please let me know. If you have an idea for people that you want me to have conversations with, let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. And remember, as always, please enter the contest. And I can't put that in strong enough air quotes, contest, to win the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. These things are in my house. No one is entering the contest. No one is answering the question on TikTok. You got to do it. So go, you look, give it away as a present. You know, like when you win it and it arrives to your house, just give it to somebody else. You don't have to drink out of it if you don't want to. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. Put coins in it. Put pins in it. You know, just get it out of my house. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.